thank God. He's so good. His love never runs out. All of you set free by God, tell the world. Tell how he freed you from oppression, then rounded you up from all over the place, from the four winds, from the seven seas.
Some of you wandered for years in the desert, looking but not finding a good place to live, half starved and parched with thirst, staggering and stumbling on the brink of exhaustion.
Then in your desperate condition, you called out to God. He got you out in the nick of time. He put your feet on a wonderful road that took you straight to a good place to live. So thank God for his marvellous love, for his miracle mercy to the children he loves. He poured great draughts of water down parched throats. The starved and the hungry got plenty to eat.
Some of you were locked in a dark cell, cruelly confined behind bars, punished for defying God's word, for turning your back on the high God's counsel, a hard sentence, and your heart so heavy, and not a soul in sight to help.
Then you called out to God in your desperate condition. He got you out in the nick of time. He led you out of your dark, dark cell, broke open the jail, and led you out. So thank God for his marvellous love, for his miracle mercy to the children he loves. He shattered the heavy jailhouse doors. He snapped the prison bars like matchsticks.
Some of you were sick because you lived a bad life. Your bodies feeling the effects of your sin. You couldn't stand the sight of food, so miserable you thought you'd be better off dead.
Then you called out to God in your desperate condition. He got you out in the nick of time. He spoke the word that healed you, that pulled you back from the brink of death. So thank God for his marvellous love, for his miracle mercy to the children he loves. Offer thanksgiving sacrifices. Tell the world what he's done. Sing it out.
Some of you set sail in big ships. You put to sea to do business in faraway ports. Out at sea, you saw God in action, saw his breathtaking ways with the ocean. With a word, he called up the wind, an ocean storm, towering waves. You shot high in the sky. Then the bottom dropped out. Your hearts were stuck in your throats. You were spun like a top. You reeled like a drunk. You didn't know which end was up.
Then you called out to God in your desperate condition. He got you out in the nick of time. He quieted the wind down to a whisper, put a muzzle on all the big waves. And you were so glad when the storm died down and he led you safely back to harbour. So thank God for his marvellous love, for his miracle mercy to the children he loves. Lift high your praises when the people assemble. Shout hallelujah when the elders meet.
That'd be good, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
God turned rivers into wasteland, springs of water into sun-baked mud. Luscious orchards became alkali flats because of the evil of the people who lived there.
Then he changed wasteland into fresh pools of water and earth into springs of water, brought in the hungry and settled them there. They moved in. What a great place to live. They sowed the fields, they planted vineyards, they reaped a bountiful harvest. He blessed them and they prospered greatly. Their herds of cattle never decreased. But abuse and evil and trouble declined as he heaped scorn on princes and sent them away. He gave the poor a safe place to live, treated their clans like well cared for sheep. Good people see this and are glad.
Bad people are speechless, stopped in their tracks.
If you are really wise, you'll think this over. It's time you appreciated God's deep love.
Thank you, Janet. Well, this morning, it's the first Sunday in Lent. Do you know what Lent means? Anybody know what the word Lent means? Okay, let's have a multiple choice. Does it mean 40 days in Latin? Does it mean springtime? Does it mean crucifixion? Does it mean suffering? Okay, straw poll. 40 days in Latin. Who thinks it means 40 days in Latin? Okay, who thinks it means springtime? Okay, crucifixion? Suffering? Ah, right. It actually means springtime. Those who said 40 days, we'll let you off with that, because for centuries, the church treated the 40 days before Easter and as a time of remembering when Jesus spent time in the desert and he was tempted by the devil. If you remember in beginning of Luke 4, it says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wild. For 40 wilderness days and nights, he was tested by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and when the time was up, he was hungry. So the church used to call those 40 days, it's a Latin word here, I only did a year of Latin at school, and then I failed abysmally, quadragesima. But during the Middle Ages, the church started using the word Lent, which means spring, because quadragesima happened in spring at Lent. So Lent, spring, quadragesima, it's the same period of time, but Lent actually means spring. And I think spring, it's a good word to think of, because you see fresh sprouts of life, isn't it? Giving hope of what's coming in the future. Lots of people fast during Lent. Maureen's always told us she's fasting from Facebook. Anybody else giving up anything for Lent? No? Okay, you might think differently after we finish this morning. I'd like to invite us to think a little bit deeper what's going on during Lent, what Lent is all about. And particularly, what was going on with Jesus when he spent those 40 days in the wilderness? Those 40 days, he was choosing to fast. He was choosing to send himself into a time of exile. Now, over the next 4 or 5 weeks, we'll be thinking about exile in our this period of Lent. And I'm very grateful to a sermon series by a Remy Dieterich. That's probably not the way you say his name, but anyway. And the sermon series is entitled Return from Exile, Overcoming Loss, Failure, Personal Setbacks. We're going to be using that as our starting point. You know, when Jesus went into the wilderness, he was literally voluntarily cutting himself off from three things: people, water, and food. And at the end of that, he was subjected to temptation. And it was all very symbolic of what exile means. You know, exile is a place where you're cut off from your sense of place, your sense of belonging. It's a place where you lack all that you need. It's a time of isolation and suffering. And in the Bible, it's often associated with wilderness and desert. And in some ways, when Jesus chose to go into the desert, into the wilderness, chose to have those 40 days of fasting, he was identifying with and understanding what the exiles in the history of Israel was all about. As you read your Bible, much of Israel's history, much of Israel's story is about exile. The theme runs throughout the whole Bible. It actually starts with Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve were exiled from the garden. They were driven out of the Garden of Eden. And you might say that whole of humanity has been in exile ever since then. Abraham, he was called into exile. He was called to leave his country, his people, and he was called to move into a desert that was experiencing a famine. And then the Israelites, they went down to Egypt in another kind of exile. When they came out of Egypt, they refused to enter the promised land, ending them up in another time of exile. And then much later in their history, the kingdom was split into two, and the northern kingdom went off into exile in Assyria, and the southern kingdom was sent to exile in Babylon. When you get lots of themes, or you get a theme that runs throughout the whole of the Bible, you might understand that God's trying to tell us something. God's trying to tell us something about exile. God uses exile. He uses the time in exile. It's never wasted. Just over 20 years ago, I experienced a big exile. Not many of you were here in the church at the time, but we were going through a period of time where there was a clash of opinions about a particular thing. And it got to the point where I felt I just needed to withdraw. So I stopped leading worship. I stopped preaching. I wasn't an elder at the time. And this period of exile for me lasted 5 years. Now, to start with, it was really, really hard, because I've always believed that God's calling on my life has been to be an encouragement to the local church. And I found myself in a place where I wasn't really relating to the local church. Apart from turning up on a Sunday, I wasn't able to be the person that I thought God had called me to be. And I found that really, really hard. But during that time, you can imagine some of the conversations I had with God. What is going on? Why have you let me think this is your calling on my life when obviously it isn't? Have I got it wrong? Have I misheard you? What am I going to do with the rest of my life? But actually, looking back, hindsight's a brilliant thing, isn't it? Looking back, I can see that he had purpose in that. One of the major things was he expanded my understanding about what the local church is, or who the local church is, and what it meant to be an encouragement to the local church. You know, it was at a time the community centre had just been opened, and I began to spend more time here, getting to know my neighbours and friends, and the lunch club started at that point. I might say a bit more about that later on, but to help understand exile, we can look at Ezekiel. Ezekiel was a prophet. He was part of a group of people who were sent to exile in Babylon. Now, I think there are different reasons for exile. Most of us here haven't been exiled from our homeland, but I can guarantee you that most of us have experienced or are experiencing exile. So the first kind of exile, and I'm going to talk about five, and then might be others, and you might identify with others. The first kind comes from unbelief. That's what happened to God's people when they failed to enter the promised land. They doubted God. And not only did they doubt God, but they were worshipping false gods. They were worshipping false idols. And the second kind of exile comes from sin and rebellion. And that's what I've just described. The first kind of exile comes from unbelief. That's what happened when the people failed to enter the promised land. They failed to see that God would take them in and would look after them. They doubted God's ability to help him. The second comes from sin and rebellion. That's with them worshipping false gods, false idols. And the third exile comes from bad choices. It's not just about unbelief or rebellion. You know, you can make bad choices that can put you in a time of exile. Fourthly, bad luck. Things happen, not of your own volition, but things happen. And then you find yourself in exile. Bad things happen for no apparent reason. And the fifth kind of exile is self-imposed. That's what Jesus did. That's what Abraham did. They ended up in a hard place because God called them to a hard place. And they obeyed. Each one of us will experience exile in one way or another. Thinking back to my big exile 20 years ago, Which of these five reasons do you think applied? Don't answer that. Actually, I think it was all of them. I think it was all five. Now, exile is only for a season. God always brings his people back. He never leaves us in exile. But exile has a specific purpose. And actually, we can learn something from the word itself. Ezekiel 39:28. God says, "Then they will know I am the Lord their God. For though I sent them into exile among the nations, I will gather them to their own land, not leaving any behind." You know, when God sent his people to Babylon in exile, he spoke to the prophet Ezekiel. He said, "Son of man, pack your bags, prepare yourself for exile, and go into exile." That's Ezekiel 12, verse 3. Those three words, go into exile, that's one particular Hebrew word, which I'm not going to attempt to pronounce. That word there, go into exile, also means to expose, to lay bare, to uncover, to reveal, or even to be stripped. In fact, in another verse in Ezekiel 13, verse 14, the same Hebrew word is used, but it's translated differently. So chapter 13, verse 14 says, "I'll tear down the wall you've covered with whitewash and will level it to the ground so that its foundation will be laid bare." That's the same word that's translated as exile in the other passage. So God's talking metaphorically to his people. He's telling them that he's going to expose their true heart. He's going to allow hard times to come to prove who they really are. This particular word has a double meaning, exile, laid bare. Exile, away from the situation, to be laid bare, but that's what happens in exile. Your heart is laid bare. For good or for bad, exile reveals your heart. Here in Ezekiel, exile revealed a heart of rebellion. But when Jesus went into exile, exile revealed his heart of obedience. Let me ask you this. What has exile revealed in your heart? If you've been in broken relationships, what has exile reveal about your heart? If your finances are upside down, what's exile? What's that revealed about your heart? If you've lost health, good health, if you're struggling with health, what has that revealed about your heart? If you're in a situation that you hadn't planned, what is being revealed in your heart? Each one of these situations is a kind of exile. When you're withdrawn from what you need to keep you going. Just about any loss can send us into exile. And these are the kind of things that the season of Lent can be useful and cause us to think about. And like Jesus, we can enter into a self-imposed exile to consider our dark side. You know, we don't fast chocolate or coffee or Facebook so that we can earn brownie points with God. Fasting helps us identify with loss and it exposes our weakness. We lay bare our foundation. You know, sometimes we're so busy, our life is so cluttered that we never come face to face with who we really are. We never see our heart. But times of exile allows us to see what our heart is really like. Psalm 107 spoke about people living in exile and what they can do to recover. Some wandered in wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Remember what I said at the beginning about what defines exile? No food, water, or people. That's exactly what was happening here. Plus, it also says that their lives ebbed away. Ebbed away means overwhelmed to the point of giving up. Exile sucked the life out of them. Have you ever been in a place like that? At the point of giving up? Feeling as though all life had been sucked out of you? That goes on to talk about two different kinds of exile. One is what we've been talking about here, rebellion. Some sat in darkness in the shadow of death, prisoners suffering in iron chains, for they'd rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. The shadow of death, it means these people were feeling overwhelmed, suffocated by their pain, feeling as if they couldn't go on. And each day they think, it can't possibly get any worse, but each day things do just get worse. Maybe that's where you're feeling, where you are right now. Darkness, the shadow of death. You're not in iron chains, but you feel trapped, just as if you were. The psalmist goes on, so God subjected them to bitter labour. They stumbled and there was no one to help. But understand this, these exiles didn't lose hope. What did they do? They cried to the Lord in their trouble. You know, often the last thing people do in exile is cry out to God, because people think God's washed his hands of them, doesn't want anything more to do with them, push them aside. That's why we're suffering. That's why things aren't going right. But the psalmist wrote this song to tell us that that's not true. That's just not true. God exposes our sin to get our attention and call us back to him. He doesn't expose us to shame us or abandon us. So don't give up. Don't give up. When God exposes your dark side, don't give up. They cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. If you're in any type of exile today, do you want to be saved from your distress? Because that's exactly what God wants to do. That's exactly what God wants to do. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and broke away their chains. Broke, powerful, active. God reaches into the mess that we're in and he pulls us out and then he sets us free from our chains. Psalmist writes with confidence. He seems to know something about God. Maybe it's because he's been through his own exile. But he closes by saying, let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love, his wonderful deeds for men. For he breaks down demolished gates of bronze and cuts through bars of iron. God doesn't just knock down doors made of wood. He obliterates gates of bronze. He cuts through bars of iron. When it comes to rescue, God holds nothing back. Well, for whatever reason, we may be in exile, whether it's unbelief, sin and rebellion, bad choices, bad luck, or even self-imposed. Know that God will use that time for good. He won't leave us there. The psalmist seemed convinced that God would break through gates of bronze and bars of iron to set us free. That's pretty impressive, isn't it? I think that's worth hanging in there for and asking God to do that in your life, in my life too. Let's pray. Jesus, in this season of Lent, we are conscious of your faithfulness and our unfaithfulness. Where we have failed you and ended up in exile, you have succeeded. But it's because of your faithfulness that we can now ask to be rescued from our distress. We don't ask on account of what we've done. We ask on account of what you've done. Come, break through the gates of bronze and chains of iron, deliver us and help us find our way back to you. Amen.